This morning, we are kicking off a new message series called Highways, a Roadmap to Greater Things. Now, when Pastor Aaron Au of the Avenue Church is a daughter church that we planted a few years ago, when he heard about this title, Highways, a roadmap to Greater Things, he said, "Hey, Pastor V, we just did a joint service with another church on the Avenue, and people came to the joint service, and things went really well at this joint service. But then someone came up and said, hey, where's the joint? It actually happened. Like, where's the joint? We came to joint service. So are you serving joints? It's like, take a hit for Jesus. Okay? Oh, you just got that. I see. So he said to me, be aware of highways. Be aware of highways. Okay? It's a good thing that we're not going to be talking about that this morning, but instead, highways, a roadmap to greater things. I believe that God has prepared, he has in store for us greater things. And this is a passage from the Bible in the book of Isaiah chapter 55. And this is what God says in his word. As heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is a really, really profound truth and God's plan and hope for us. Let's read this together, shall we, in one voice. This is so profound. Ready? As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I believe, and I trust you do too, that God's ways are better than our ways. I believe, as you do, that God has something wonderful planned for us. I believe, as you do, that God's ways are higher, much, much higher than our ways. And that is the reason for which we commit ourselves to, okay, God, if you're there, show us, reveal to us this higher way. Or some of you, this is very new, coming to church, about Jesus, about the Bible, God. It's all very so new. But you are here, I believe, because God has a higher purpose for you. And that's why you're being drawn to his presence with God's people. Maybe some of you have been in the church for all your lives. And yet still, as I do, I want God's ways. I pray that you are thirsting and hungering for what God has in store for you and me, so that we may continue to strive towards this highways. So we're going to spend the next 5 Sundays in highways, a roadmap to God's greater things. So next week, it will be road to prayer. The following week, it will be the road to generosity. And the third part will be road to scripture. And last one, road to sent. Now this morning, we're going to focus on this particular road, which is the road to community. God's ways are higher than ours when we follow him in his community. And that's because we are shaped by God, created by God, to live in a community with God himself, but with one another. Life works better. It is God's higher way for us. As we commune with God, live in his presence, also do life together in a community with the body of Christ, God's people. And we see this happening, the contrast of this is happening every day. If you have a broken relationship in your life, if you are estranged with your loved ones, if there has been a strife or brokenness or tension, and the things aren't what they are supposed to be with your loved ones, your family, your spouse, friends. And that's because something has become broken already. Initially, it was God's plan that we live in his community, his presence with him. But when that relationship got severed, so did everything else. So thus, we broke away from God's community with God himself, And therefore, we live in broken communities today, in our world, in our lives, in our relationships. As heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And God's road map, the road to these higher ways, today we're going to focus on the road to community. And here is one theme sentence of my message that I want you to remember. And it goes like this. God invites you into his community of grace and power. God is the one who is inviting you. He invites you today. He invites you today into his community of grace and power. Let's read this together. God invites you into his community of grace and power. And we find this happening in chapter 2 of Acts. And let's receive together. Okay? The backdrop is this. Jesus came, God the Son, the one who lives with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. The church calls this the doctrine of the Trinity. God the Father sent God the Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to bring us to his higher ways, to restore the broken community that we had between God and ourselves. And the way he accomplished that goal is by dying on the cross, and he rose from the dead, and he appeared before his disciples, and he said, I'm going to send you God the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he will bring you into God's community back once again, and thereby restoring all the broken things in your lives. And that's God's highway. And one of the disciples, Peter, he got up. This is after Jesus' resurrection and his ascension to heaven. And Peter, being fully convinced that Jesus is who he says he is, being fully filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, he stood before people of Israel and he gave his first sermon, his first message. And this is what he says. This is verse 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Messiah means the Savior, Savior of the world. Okay? When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. They were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? We feel, we experience our hearts being cut through by God's conviction and his word. What shall we do? How shall we respond? Is what Peter says. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children. A sense of community is coming back again, right? This promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord your God, our God, will call. With many other words, he warned them, Peter said to them, and he pleaded with them, saying, save yourselves from this corrupt generation that breaks the community with God. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. So this is the first point in the message. When God invites you into his community of grace and power, he does so by speaking the words of Jesus Christ. And when you hear the words of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit today, your heart will be cut. You are being cut in your heart, through your heart. And this is a key idea. Everything changes when your heart is cut by the Holy Spirit. What does that look like? What would it feel like if your heart were cut by the moving of the Holy Spirit in you? Well, here's the thing. God says, I made Jesus. Here is a better way of saying the same concept, same truth. When your heart becomes cut by the Holy Spirit, you begin to see Jesus as your Lord and Savior. When your heart is being transformed, pricked, and reprogrammed in the power of the Holy Spirit, you begin to realize Jesus is not just some prophet that lived 2,000 years ago. Jesus is not some good moral teacher who gave wise sayings, but he becomes supernaturally someone whom, to whom you say, Jesus Christ, you are my Lord and my Savior. You created all things. I realize and I believe now that you created me. And therefore, my communion with you, being in your community by your invitation, I become transformed and changed. It's all about being in his community by the power of his grace. Here's how you know if you are being cut to the heart this moment. On your journey, as you follow Jesus Christ, perhaps in the past, before you were cut to the heart, breaking God's laws, disobeying God, you felt like this. You were breaking his rules. But now, if you're cut to the heart, you feel like you're breaking God's heart. You see the change. Before, you were breaking God's rules, and now, if you're cut to the heart, you feel you're breaking God's heart. It's relational. It is no longer some do's and don'ts or law books out there. It's a very solid relationship. You are breaking God's heart. Parents in this room, let me speak to you. You know exactly what it feels like because you've been there or you are there right now. When you pour out your love into your child or children and they say to you, Mommy and Daddy, no, thank you. Please don't love me anymore. In fact, I want out of this relationship. How would you feel? How would you feel if they say that? If you're in a relationship or if you are in a relationship, what if your significant other says to you, I am no longer in love with you. I want out. How would you feel? That's exactly how God felt towards us when we said, I don't want to be in this community with you. But now, with the power of the Holy Spirit, when he cuts through your heart, you realize, and maybe for the first time, you say, oh my goodness, this is what I've done to you, God. Thank you for the gift. Thank you for calling me back into your community. So it all starts with this, God's transformation in your heart, and you are being restored with God in his community. I have said this in the past a couple of times, but it's worthwhile repeating myself. My mother was, you know, that question earlier today, who was most influential in your life? Now, in my case, it was my mom when it comes to faith journey. My mom grew up in a Christian home early on, and she tried to observe, she tried to follow and obey God's commandments. And therefore, she kept the law, so to speak. Okay? And she never felt that Jesus died for her. She believed, oh yeah, he died for someone else, those bad people out there, evil people out there, but not for me because I am trying to do good. I'm trying to be good. Years later, when she was going through a tough time and she was really relying on God, she was praying fervently before the Lord, and she saw this vision, or she was brought into a trance. And in her vision, she heard this sound of hammering nails. And she was brought near to that place, and she found herself on the place where Christ was crucified. And there he hung on the cross, on the tree, bleeding. And my mom said to Jesus, Lord Jesus, who has done this to you? And to her amazement, he said, you have done this to me. It's your sins that nailed me to the cross. It was for the first time that she was cut to her heart, and she realized and accepted this grace. My sins, my wrongdoings, when I broke away from God's community, it was for my sins that Jesus had to die on the cross for me. And that was her turning point. That's when she said, yes, Lord Jesus, you are my Savior. You died for my sins, and you are my Lord. I choose to follow you in all the days of my life. It begins with this conviction. God invites you into his community of grace and power by first cutting through your heart and placing you into his community. And when that happens, what follows is you find yourself in God's community with other people. Let's read verse 42 to 47. Verse 42 to 47. So this is following that profound conviction of the Holy Spirit. People are cut to the heart, and then this is what happened to their lives. They, the early followers, the Christians, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. That's the big house. Everyone gathered together, thousands of them together. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. That's the house churches, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. When God invites you into his community of grace and power, you begin to experience this amazing, amazing presence of God's community. Number one, we devote ourselves to God's word, the scripture. They call it the apostles' teaching. Now, isn't it interesting? Why didn't Luke, the writer of this gospel, write, they devoted themselves to God's word? Why didn't he say they devoted themselves to the Bible? Instead, he wrote, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And that's because everything has to be reinterpreted and understood in the light of Jesus Christ. It's not enough for you to read the Bible. You got to understand what the Bible is saying through the lens of what Christ has done. And this is how you are being devoted to God's word. When you read God's word in the Bible, the Holy Scripture, it's not so much what you have to do now, primarily. It's what Christ has done for you already, and thereby you respond to it. Let me give you an example. Many of you may feel, you know, I grew up in the church, and the church I find is a place where there is no freedom. It's all about guilt and guilt and guilt. Because I concede, I am guilty, I fall short of obeying God's commandments. And therefore, I feel unworthy because I am not good enough. I haven't done well. The truth is this. It's in Jesus Christ who says to you, I know you fall short. I know your shortcomings. I know you are fallen. And that's because that's the truth. And yet, I love you. I accept you. And I am going to fulfill all the requirements of what God demands of you. I become obedient to God fully. I become trusting. I trust God wholly with all my heart. And therefore, I give you that credit unto you, my gift to you. That's how you know you're being cut to the heart. That's how you know you're being transformed as you receive God's word. Not through what you have to do primarily, but what Christ has done for you already. And everything that you do is a response to rich grace, the gift of God. Second, you know you're being cut to the heart and God invites you into his community of grace and power as you devote yourselves to prayer. We come together to pray in the big house. We also come together to pray in our house churches. House churches meet weekly or biweekly, in people's homes. They receive God's word together, but also they pray together. Because when you pray, something happens that would not have happened if you didn't pray. It's a mysterious, supernatural thing. God says, pray to me. Rely on me. Put your trust in me. Pray, but pray with one another. Have your house church people pray for you. I think of a time when this gentleman, he was in need of a hip surgery. and he was placed on a waiting list. And the waiting list was about a year long. It was a long time. In the meantime, he was limping, he was in pain, and he suffered for a long time. And finally, you know, he's one of those people who may not always say, hey, would you pray for me? Okay. But he chose, he decided in his house church one night, hey, friends, do me a favor. Would you pray for me? Because my hip is in great pain, and I got another 8 months on the waiting list. Would you please pray? They prayed. Guess what happened? The following week, he gets a call from his doctor. Hey, we have a slot for you. You're good to go in 2 weeks. Boom, bam, boom. That was amazing. When you pray together with God's people, in your house church, with God's community, things happen supernaturally. God invites you into his community of grace and power. And when he does that, we devote ourselves to generosity. We show generosity. Did you read that? People were together, and everyone had everything in common together. No one was lacking in anything because they were meeting the needs of the people with their generosity. I think of a time when One House Church in particular, they said, hey, let's do an act of generosity. Because God has been so generous towards us, it is fitting and right that as his community, we show generosity to someone else. We said, that's a great idea. And we identify this, a single mom from one country in Africa. She was in her mid-20s with two young sons, ages 7 and 10. And she was all by herself in Canada, brand new, newcomers. Okay? Her English was needing some help, and she was going to school in the afternoon, and she was also working at the airport, taking the bus ride all the way there. Took her an hour and a half, one way. Busy, busy, rough, demanding lifestyle for her. And she was all by herself in this new land. The house church said, hey, let's show generosity. Let's receive, gather money, and buy gifts. At this time, it was the month of December. So we said, hey, her name was Mado. Mado, we want you to come to our house church as our guest. We'll go and pick you up and your sons, and we're going to have this Christmas celebration together. So we picked them up, they came, and we surprised them with gifts. Merry Christmas. We extended the gifts. The boys went crazy and wild. They ripped the wrapping paper like, pshhh. And all these things were going on. And Mado, sitting in the background, tears rolling down on her cheeks, said, what's the matter? She said this, my sons never had a Christmas gift until today. It was their first time receiving a gift for Christmas. See, when God comes into your life and restores your relationship with you, and he ushers into his community of grace and power, we devote ourselves to acts of generosity. And lastly, we devote ourselves to being sent out together. This needs some explanation. God comes into our lives, and he transforms us into his community, and then he then sends us out, so that many more people may come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and their best friend. You know, I think of one young couple in our midst. Some years ago, the young couple came, and they were looking for a job, and they were far away from God's presence. They weren't in a community of God, but one of their colleagues, who was a Mosaic Hauser, said, hey, I want to invite you to our house church. They said, what's a house church? Well, you know, we gather together, we share a meal together, and we receive God's word together, and we pray together, and we do life together. Would you be our guest? Young couple came, and they were hooked. They're all alone in this new land, and they were lacking this community. And that house church became God's community for this young couple. And it was through that connecting with the house church, the young couple began coming to the Sunday morning big house, and lo and behold, they were ushered into Jesus Christ. And now they call Jesus their Lord and Savior. See, friends, When God cuts to your heart, when God transforms you from the inside out by placing you in his community, then that changes everything. How you spend your time, how you spend your money, and how you devote your lives in the things that are higher in God's sight. So in conclusion, let me just encourage you with the following applications. Okay? Number one, I want to encourage you, repent and be baptized. This is what exactly Peter said to his audience. What shall we do? We've been cut to the heart. We sense God's moving in my heart. What shall we do? Repent and be baptized. Simply put, repent is just saying to God, God, I am sorry. I've been going the wrong way. I've been doing life without you and your community. And I want to turn around and I want to do life with you and with your community. That's called repentance. And one sign of that repentance is that you be baptized. You want to make a public declaration that you are being cut to the heart. That's the first application. Repent and be baptized. Contact me for further information. Number two, be encouraged. Let me start with the house church lead missionaries, those who are hosting house churches, those of you who are investing your time and talents and treasure for this God's gathering, community of God's people, week in and week out. I know you get tired. I realize. I feel that way too. Don't you? Sometimes you go, oh, Thursday already? Sometimes you go, oh, we got to make dinner again? Sometimes you go, man, we've been praying for this person forever and nothing is changing and you feel discouraged. God says to you, be encouraged. Be inspired. Because what God is doing through your time and talents, he's making a difference. Believe me when I say your participation with the Holy Spirit in your house church as its leader, it's making a difference. I think of Sarah. Sarah is one house church. She's a single mom. She got three young children. Okay, ages 7, 5, and 2. Single mom. In the morning, she wakes up at 5, gets her children ready, drops one off at the daycare, another one at kindergarten, and the last one at school. Goes to work, works all day long, drives back, picks up one child at a time, driving against the traffic time, okay? And then she has to go home and make salad, and she comes to her house church. It's a long, busy day. And I said to her, hey, Sarah, don't you ever want to just relax and, you know, I'm not going to the house church. Don't you ever want to do that? I am so impressed that you make the effort of being here. You know what she says? You know, listen. She says to me, I need my community. I know it's hard. It takes effort. But when I come here, God does something supernatural. God does something that I could never do for myself. With this community of house church, I feel uplifted because you pray for me. I feel encouraged because you guide me. I feel strengthened because you go through my sufferings together. So, yes, it takes effort, but it's worth it. And therefore, I say to you, be encouraged. Always give yourselves wholly to the work of the Lord because your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Let me also say, be encouraged to those of you who are participating in a house church. Listen, you partner with the Holy Spirit together as a participant in your house church. So together with the house church, your community, God may do something more wonderful and awesome. And last application, go for a test drive. Go for a test drive. It's a North American vernacular slogan slang. Means, hey, check it out. When you go to buy a car, you don't just buy it, you test drive it. And after you test drive the car, you say, I like it, I love it, or, no thank you. So those of you who are not in house church yet, I want to encourage you, as God does, go for a test drive. Go to our website, click on Connect with Us, and that will lead you to all the house churches that you can go for a test drive with. Additionally, when you walked in, you may have received a brochure of our house churches as to what it's about and what is expected when you go for a test drive. So check this out and call up and say, may I come as your guest next week? Because when you do, you will experience God's community. And this is good for the Lord, good for you, and good for our city. A question was sent, and the questioner asks, what if I don't feel comfortable meeting with people because I feel judged? Okay? I have a couple of responses to that. Are they judging you, or they're not judging you, but you feel judged? Okay? Is your experience externally motivated or internally originated? You know what I'm saying? Now, first, remember the theme sentence, God invites you to a community of, his community of grace. That means we're not to judge other people. Jesus says, do not judge, lest you be judged. It's like this. If God in Christ Jesus has forgiven me of my sins, I should forgive others when they sin against me. Similarly, if God does not judge me anymore because Jesus took my penalty on the cross, and therefore, I should not judge anyone else. We are invited to a community of grace. That means we become humble. We realize what Christ has done, and therefore, we act gracefully towards others. And therefore, if people judge you, as in, we are better than you, You are doing something wrong, and not only that, we are better than you, and therefore, until you fix your action, don't come to us. That is not a community of grace, and therefore, don't belong there. Find a community of grace where people may say, hey, we love you enough to say what you're doing is hurting yourself, but we're not being judgmental. Differentiate between judging and being judgmental. Judging means this. You got to call the spade a spade. If I am cheating on my wife, which I'm not, okay? You who love me should say, brother, what are you doing? Stop doing this. Because you declare what my actions are wrong, right? Okay? That's making a judgment. You see, being judgmental is you become the executioner. You say, what you're doing is wrong, and I condemn you, and I'm better than you, and you better. You see, that is reserved only for God. While we may call the spade a spade, make a judgment, we should never be judgmental. You see the difference? Okay? And this is one of the most misquoted Bible verses ever. But don't judge, lest be judged. But the Bible says, call the brother out. Call him on his act. Set him straight. And you can't do that without making a judgment. But we should never be judgmental, as in, we are better than you. Okay? So my encouragement is, find a community of grace. Furthermore, okay, let me just end with this. If you feel judged internally, okay, no one's going to change that except Jesus Christ. No matter what other people do, they are very accepting of you. They're very encouraging and supportive of you. But in you, you feel you are never good enough for the Lord. You got to receive grace. Grace is a gift. You are not good enough. But Christ says, I am good enough for you. And I'm going to love you. I'm going to accept you. Therefore, I define you. Like the song that we sang. It's who I am found in Jesus Christ. You got to receive the gift and grace. All right? Okay, thank you so much for the question. Let's close our eyes, and I want to invite us to a time of prayer. Father God, I thank you so much for your grace, which is exhibited in your community. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you died for my sins and our sins. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your gift. We are humbled by it, and we are being melted by its power. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for pricking our heart, cutting our heart, so that we may be transformed from the inside out. We want to pray for the moving of the Holy Spirit in our midst now. Would you use us? Use us to make a difference, not only in our lives, but in the lives of others as well. Thank you for our lead missionaries, the leaders of our house churches, who devote themselves with their time and talents and treasure so that your community can prosper and multiply. Thank you. Thank you. Friends, I want to just give you a moment to respond to what you've heard with respect to the three applications. Repent and be baptized. Be encouraged and go for a test drive. In your own heart, would you just say a response back to the Lord? Say, yes, Lord, I thank you. Yes, Lord, I repent and be baptized. Yes, Lord, I will go for a test drive. Say back to the Lord what you feel convicted of. Lord Jesus, we pray now. We pray. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. We pray. All in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone say together, amen.